seconds, and you have already brought more men that need tending. Did you convince them to attack an army of trolls? Storm the gates of a necropolis? I suppose I should be happy that the village is even still standing. I...
Richter leaned back from the hurricane force winds coming from her mouth. He looked at Hisako for help, but if there were two ubiquitous sprite characteristics, it was their connection with nature and their love of fucking with people. Hisako just stepped back with a smarmy grin on her face and let Sumiko enjoy herself. About 5 minutes later, the village healer finally stopped her rant. She had already checked on the status of the three men who had wisely feigned unconsciousness the whole time, letting their liege bear the brunt of the verbal attack. Sergeant Calder had previously warned every guard not to challenge the healer. In the man's own words, "She may have hair like moonlight, but her soul is pure fire." Richter had hoped that her ministrations to the patients might slow down her verbal assault on him, but the accomplished sprite was clearly able to bring life with her hands and deliver death with her tongue at the same time. When he finally got a word in edgewise, he congratulated her on becoming a mage, for that was exactly what she was now, a professed mage. She thanked him sourly, but he still saw the hint of a smile peek through. Her Meitu Pixie was buzzing around her head, delighted that Sumiko had returned. The sprite had wanted to gain a profession for countless years, and now had finally achieved her goal. When she saw him notice the crack in her hard exterior, though, she scowled at him anew, and Richter was sure that if she still used a cane, she would have been shaking it at him.
"Well," Sumiko asked sharply, "despite your best effort, all three of these men are on the mend, most likely thanks to the Hearth Mother. I know the three of you are not just standing around for fun. What else do I need to know?"
Richter told the story for a third time, then led her outside to see the body of the ghast. Sumiko's hate for the undead was well known, so he wasn't overly surprised when she spit at the sight of it. "I want to review the memories that I was able to steal from the ghast, and I'm asking that all three of you be present. Last time I delved into a memory involving the Eldritch Lord, he was able to detect me. My mental defenses are much stronger than they were before, but I still don't want to take any chances. In case something goes wrong, I'd like my strongest comrades around me," Richter told them. They nodded in solidarity. He focused on Sumiko. "I'm sorry to put you right back to work, but we desperately need your help. Before I access the memory, I'd like you to inspect the body. More info about the ghast could only help and might give me a frame of reference for whatever I see in the memory. I also need all the freed prisoners tested with your soul's window spell to see if they harbor any ill intentions. As dinner is only an hour away, I was thinking we could have a meal with all the freed prisoners and they could come up to be interviewed one at a time. Tomorrow, with all of you there, I will review the memories. Can you do that?" The healer's face was still wrinkled in disgust from seeing Nian's decapitated corpse, but she nodded.
"I will examine the body. I should be done by the time dinner is served. Why are you waiting until tomorrow to review the memories, however?"
Richter looked up at Alma flying above his head. He also hadn't told any of them about his ability to bond with Alma and assume dragon form. That wasn't because he felt uncomfortable sharing the information. It was more because Richter loved a big reveal. "I have my reasons," he responded enigmatically with a faint smile. It was quiet for a moment before Sumiko spoke with a snap in her voice.
"Fine. If you are not going to tell me, then at least stop grinning like an idiot and let me get to work. Now shoot!"
Sumiko practically forced Richter away from the healer's hut. Hisako and Randolphus walked with him. The Hearth Mother offered her help.
"I also know the soul's window spell, of course. I could help Sumiko test your new people if you will trust my judgment."
Richter smiled wryly at the Hearth Mother. "I trust you with my life and the secret of my chaotic nature," he replied. "I would be honored to have you help test the men and women I'm considering adding to my village."
"You could have asked before, you know," she told him.
"You already do so much for me. For us," Richter amended. "I did not want to impose on your good nature. It never occurred to me that you would say no if I asked you for help. You have such a generous spirit." She stopped walking and placed a hand on Richter's cheek.
"You are such a sweet boy when you want to be,"
she told him warmly. Then she gave him a light slap on the same cheek with just enough force that it made a solid smack.
But no one likes a suck-up. Just ask for help next time, Guilty.
Richter laughed out loud, and Randolphus had to hide a grin behind his papers. The KLC nodded and replied, "Yes, ma'am." He was about to start another topic when another black disc appeared in front of him. Hisako and Richter shared a look and the same unspoken thought. What were the chances of two people returning from their trials almost at the same time? Then a wide grin grew on Richter's face because he thought he understood. Everyone in his village had just become 20 points luckier. Put another way, the village itself had gained 20 points of luck. What could be luckier for a settlement than a large number of professionals showing up all at once? Yulindi stepped out of the portal and the black disc vanished. The elven archer looked around with a broad smile on his face. Richter quickly used Analyze and found that the man was now a ranger. "Congratulations," Richter commended him. Yulindi clapped his fist to his heart.
"Thank you, my lord."
Before anyone could say anything else, another black disc appeared. Then another, then another, then another. Many of his villagers had already been walking towards the feast area, so they saw the Mist Village's latest professionals return. Soon the entire village was abuzz, and everyone except the freed slaves and the guards on duty had gathered. Randolphus waded into the insanity and quickly gathered his two helpers around him. In no time at all, the simple dinner that had been planned was transformed into a feast, and the village stores were plundered for a celebration. It was customary in the land to commemorate such a momentous event as gaining a profession. In the midst of the festivities, the Chamberlain spoke with each person that had returned from their trial. As the party truly got underway, he brought over a list of all the people that Nexus had absconded with and the professions they had gained. Non-combat professions, 18. Chandler, Joseph. Soper, Jeremiah. Lumberjack, Baron. Cook, Taco. Shipwright, Shiovanna. Sailor, Jerry. Weaver, Hilda. Miner, Poltan. Enchanter, Glorin. Maid, Tiffany. Hunter, Radil. Smith, Crom. Farmer, Dano. Cordwainer, Woodhouse. Carpenter, Yulin. Locksmith, Burke. Herbalist, Isabella. Curtisan, Inara. The first names were all non-combat professions. To gain one, a person had to have a personal level of 10 and a skill level of 45. Richter was excited to see the wide variety of pros the village now had access to. He also planned to schedule some time with Inara ASAP. Burke the locksmith, on the other hand, concerned him a bit. He couldn't help but wonder if the man had a criminal past. Randolphus explained that building locks gave the skill lock picking as well, though. He then went on to explain that in Burke's case, Richter's concern was completely warranted. The man had been a thief back in law. With a smile on his face, the spy said he would keep an eye on him and already had a few ideas about how to put his skills to good use. Richter was left wondering if the Mist Village might have a spy training program sometime soon, but decided to leave it in Randy's hands. He did make a point of saying he wanted Burke and Yulin the carpenter to get together to begin making strong chests. Richter wanted some for the village, but he wanted others placed in the dungeon. He was sure the dungeon could make chests by itself, but it might cost dungeon points that could instead be funneled towards making treasure to fill them. Richter was hoping that the dungeon might take a hint and start filling the empty chests that were placed in it. The Chamberlain told him it would be done. The next piece of paper Randolphus handed over had the names of those who had gained combat professions. To gain one of these, a person still needed to be journeyman rank or higher in a skill, but also had to have a personal level of at least 20. Combat professions, 8. Warriors, Calf, Ygritte, Wisteria, Ranger, Yulindi, Rogue, Hanzo, Magi, Sumiko, Quasia, Zar. Richter raised his eye at seeing that Hanzo had become a rogue. Randolphus nodded in understanding. He is one of the guards that Calder brought with him. I was told that he was extremely useful against the Thieves Guild in law due to his high stealth skill.
That could come in handy.
I intend to take over his training once I can be sure of his loyalty and discretion,
the Chamberlain told his lord.
Burke will be given similar instruction as well as any other villagers I find that have the necessary affinities and disposition.
Richter smiled at that. Yep, he was definitely about to have a spy school.
Randolphus continued. In the meantime, I have already thought of several ways Hanzo can be put to good use.
The Chamberlain's tone changed.
I must confess, my lord, I'm quite surprised by these results. Not only has almost every villager returned from their trials early, but none of them have failed either. We are extremely lucky on both counts.
Richter just smiled in response. He now had no doubt this was happening because of the special perk from his new vassal. He turned his attention back to the paper in his hand. Near the bottom of the page, the Chamberlain had made a list of the professionals that had already been in the village. Scholars, Bartle, B. Enchanter, Lord Richter, Alchemist, Tabia, Herbalist, Queen Alora, Warrior, Mimi.
When he had founded the village, he'd had a dream about raising the levels of his people so that he had a population of professionals.
This was an amazing first step. Nearly 5% of the village's citizens were now pros. As excited as he was, though, there was one name that was missing from the list. Well, two names, really, but it was completely understandable that a spy wouldn't write his own name on a list. Randy might as well have worn a sign saying, "Hey, I'm a spy!"
"Where is..." Richter began. "I know, my lord. I'm sure he will return soon," Randolphus reassured him.
"Okay," Richter replied, nodding. There was nothing he could do about it. "Will you speak with everyone about what talents they'll invest in?"
"Of course, my lord. Most have already asked for time with me so that their talent purchases can best serve you and the village."
Richter looked at him in surprise. A profession was a lifelong pursuit, and talent points were exceptionally hard to come by. Buying a talent was a major life decision. He had hoped that Randy might guide a few of them to choose talents that would support the village rather than just themselves. That meant they might have to forego other talents, though. Talents that could make them more valuable out in the wide world. The fact that many of the new professionals would even consider buying talents to help the village as a whole boded well, and was probably a reflection of the settlement's high morale and loyalty. Richter was reminded yet again how the subtle mechanics of the land could have serious consequences for good or ill. He was elated that this time the effect seemed to be good. It was even more meaningful when you took into account that those who had sworn fealty to him had agreed to serve him and the village for life. Only about a quarter of the current village population had bent the knee. Everyone else was only obligated to finish their year-long contract.
How many asked how they could help out?
20, my lord. And they are all ready to bend the knee,
Randolphus said with a faint smile. They are ready to do it right now.
Richter easily returned his smile. 26 new professionals had just returned. Crom, Yulindi, and Sumiko had already pledged their fealty. That meant 20 of the remaining 23 new professionals were willing to tie their lives to his. He was almost overcome with emotion, but the pragmatic and planning side of him took control.
Let's hold off for just a few moments. Go touch base with Sumiko and Hisako. The feast is about to get into high swing. If they finish testing everyone, separate the freed prisoners into groups. One group should be those who have passed Hisako and Sumiko's tests and want to stay in the village. Escort them to the feast area. A second group should comprise those who passed the tests and want to leave. Keep them where they are. Have food brought, but make it clear that they will not be given another chance to join. It is time to either move forward with us or be left behind. Randolphus nodded. Once you bring the first group here, then we'll do the fealty ceremony. He winked at his companion.
Then I'll show everyone the benefits of membership, he added with a laugh.
And those that have not passed the tests? Randolphus asked.
Richter's face hardened somewhat. The test was easy. It was just three questions. Did they have ill will towards Richter or the village? Were they harboring a secret that might harm Richter or the village? Were they actively or passively working against Richter or the village? A yes to the first question could be discussed. A yes to the second question, and they would be given the opportunity to unburden themselves. A yes to the third meant interrogation and possibly death. That had been the previous policy. Richter was not nearly as soft-hearted as he had once been, however. Anyone who fails any of the questions fails them all. Have them taken to the entrance chamber of the dungeon and interrogate them personally. After you have learned what you can, his voice turned cold. Death by dungeon. Do it quietly, but take no chances. I will not have the safety of our village compromised again. As you say, my chief, Randolphus responded deferentially, bowing his head. Richter shook off the mantle of anger that had landed on him for a moment. The fact that it seemed to find him more easily these days bothered him, but in a distant way. That could be dealt with another time. Good, he pronounced, clapping his hands together. Then I am going to go speak with our new professionals and find out what the hell a cordwainer is.
Chapter 75, Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC.
Turns out a cordwainer made shoes. The rest of the night went great. Thankfully, the trial he had held seemed to have purged anyone treacherous from the ranks of the freed slaves. Of the 376 former prisoners, 359, more than 95%, wanted to stay in the village. The remaining 17 wanted to leave, but no one had failed the three questions. Richter was elated and planned to add everyone in the first group to the village. Randolphus had raised a word of caution upon hearing his liege's plans. Adding so many new people to the village all at once could very well have a deleterious effect on the village morale and loyalty. There were also other considerations, like housing. They barely had enough space to house their current population. In truth, they were already above capacity, but as it was still the tail end of summer, many people didn't mind sleeping outside. With several hundred new official villagers, though, there might be penalties that would only worsen until more housing was constructed. To compound the problem, the one guy they needed to fix that problem still hadn't made it back from his trial. Richter had already thought about all of that, though, and had decided to stay with the original mission statement of his settlement. He had created the Mist Village to be a beacon of hope and acceptance in the land, to create at least one location where those in need could come for help. Mere survival was not enough for him. It was important that he and his works stand for something. Besides, he wasn't about to say no to hundreds more workers ready to build up his armies and village. They did live in the middle of fucking nowhere, after all. Sometimes you have to stop being picky and just be happy to get it in. Richter had plans, not the least of which was advancing his village to level 2. Richter still remembered getting that prompt after first taking control of his place of power. Requirements for increasing the Mist Village to level 2. 1. Increase population to at least 100. 2. Build 10 freestanding buildings. 3. Master 3 levels of the catacombs. 4. Finish 4 quests of the Mist Village. The requirements hadn't seemed so tough at first, but now he knew the requirements were like saying, brush your teeth, wash your face, design, fabricate, and launch an intercontinental ballistic missile. Make a bowl of cereal. He'd accomplished the first criteria and was almost done with the last. The second wasn't too far away from being fulfilled either. As for the third criteria, level 1 of the catacombs was populated with tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands, of kobolds. He hadn't even gone down to the catacombs again because his last interaction with the dog-faced lizardman, although profitable, had made him a serious enemy and had almost claimed his life. If he was going to have any hope of conquering the first level of the catacombs, let alone the first 3, he needed more soldiers. A small piece of him had quailed when he'd first had that thought. It railed against the idea of leading even more men and women into harm's way after having just lost so many in a battle that only ended days ago. He had not been raised to equivocate and wring his hands, though. Another way to say it was that just because the truth was inconvenient didn't mean you shied away from it. No, that was when you looked even closer. The truth Richter had to face was that there were more battles coming, and some of his people would die no matter what he did. Simply by claiming his place of power and building his village, conflict had become inevitable. There would always be those that felt threatened by the accomplishments of others, and his village was a shining beacon. The more powerful it became, the more others would want to steal what he had built. At least by preparing his people, by building his armies, and by taking precautions, the village and its people had a chance to survive. After he accepted that truth, the decision became much easier. Would he lay down and let others run roughshod over him, or would he fight to protect his own? Richter chose life. He thanked Randolphus for his counsel, but told the Chamberlain to bring everyone that wanted to stay in the village to the feast area. Once all the freed slaves who had decided to stay in the village were present, Richter called for silence. Sumiko, Hisako, Sion, Tirad, Calder, and several others stood with him on a stage at the end of the dining area. The new professionals were brought up to stand with him one at a time. Randolphus arranged for the men and women who wanted to swear fealty to approach first. There were cheers of congratulations as the first man approached. Those same people all gasped when Richter rewarded him with a silver quickening fruit. He made it clear that each professional who bent the knee would be rewarded not only in the long term, but also immediately with this priceless item. After consuming the celestial fruit, some of the men and women even advanced a skill level if their affinity was pushed above 100%. Richter's vision was momentarily occluded again and again, with prompts showing his increase in relationship with the people who knelt before him. The true silver rinds of each fruit were collected and handed to Crom. The dwarf's grin was almost creepy, even hidden by his salt and pepper beard. It was obvious that the dwarf couldn't wait to go back to playing with the celestial medal. Richter had already given orders that each of the combat professionals receive a true silver weapon that fit their combat style. He intended for them to wear them proudly, even when inside the village. The celestial medal would be a daily reminder to everyone in the village of just how well he treated those who served him. The end goal was to have every soul in the village united in fealty under him. The true silver weapons were just one step in a PR campaign designed to accomplish that goal. With that thought in mind, it was no surprise that the last three professional holdouts also swore fealty when their time came at the end of the ceremony. Richter cast a small glance at Sumiko, who gave an almost imperceptible nod to each. She had secretly been using her soul's window spell to ensure that the expected change of heart was genuine and not merely lip service. After the ceremony was done, the quiet part of the night was also over. He had the former slaves, now new villagers, approach the stage in groups of 10. They all expressed their desire to join the village. He shook the hand of each man, woman, and child. Each group was met with resounding cheers and pulled to various tables. This had been Randolphus's idea, to immediately start integrating the new people with the old. A serious dent had been made in the village's ale stores as well, much to the ire of some of the dwarves who hated to see their good lager wasted on, well, anyone that wasn't them. What was a bit of a surprise was that 200 of the freed prisoners bent the knee and swore fealty as well. 41 of the 359 new villagers were children and so couldn't swear fealty by Richter's own laws, which made the number of men and women pledging their lives and loyalty to him even more astounding. Some of the parents tried to have their kids pledge allegiance as well, but Richter remained firm in his rule that no one below the age of 14 could commit themselves to him. He wanted people to be with him because they chose to be, not because the decision was made for them. This wasn't for any sentimental reason, but more because a Machiavellian corner of his mind knew that bonds were stronger when people chose them themselves. After the welcoming ceremony was done, Richter received a series of prompts showing how these newest villagers had changed the village's dynamics.
Know this, your village has grown by leaps and bounds. Never forget, there are consequences to your actions. Your village had 694 souls with an average base morale of plus 1,592 and an average base loyalty of plus 1,485. You have now added 359 souls with an average base morale of minus 628 and an average base loyalty of plus 3,811. The following adjustments have been made to your village values. Base morale decreased by minus 757. Morale modifiers, plus 835 times 1.74. Total morale points, plus 1,210. Base loyalty increased by plus 762. Loyalty modifiers, plus 2,278 times 1.47. Total loyalty points, plus 3,349. The loyalty rank of the Mist Village increased from Reliable, rank 3, plus 1,000, to Trusting, rank 4, plus 2,500. Your people believe your words and follow your commands easily. Your words can even start to sculpt their ideas and beliefs. They begin to put the well-being of the settlement above their own. Loyalty rank reward, 40% to 70%, plus 70% to productivity.
Richter hadn't known exactly how down in the dumps the freed slaves had been, but he was actually relieved that it hadn't been worse. They had been the victims of murder, rape, and other horrible abuses. That they could even smile now was a testament to their inner strength, in his opinion. The fact that they had recently been freed and given three hots and a cot had probably improved their morale somewhat as well. On the whole, adding the new villagers had been a positive change for the village. The overall loyalty had jumped a rank, and he was already excited about the boost of productivity. True, he had lost a great deal of morale points, but the village was still rank 3, elated, so there hadn't been any direct negative effects. He had to think that the freed prisoners' morale would improve as more time passed. The increase in the village's loyalty was staggering. He'd finally broken into the fourth rank of one of his city mechanics, and the boost was awesome! Even with the minus 2% loss from having a negligible crime level, factoring in all the numbers from loyalty, morale, and health gave his village a plus 98% boost to productivity. Just what he needed before a big battle, he thought with a smile. There were a few more notifications.
The housing available in your settlement is now 50% below capacity for your population. You have 1 week to solve this issue, or minus 5 will be subtracted from village morale each day for a max loss of minus 500.
That prompt was not the best, but he did have a full week to fix the problem. With the boost to productivity, he wasn't overly worried. There was some other good news as well.
Congratulations, you have completed a quest, Potential for Greatness 1. The fruit of the quickening has been fed to 10 professionals in your village. Your people are on the path towards a celestial evolution. Reward, 1,250 experience. Reward, plus 1% chance of professionals who have both sworn fealty to you and eaten the flesh of the quickening fruit to have up to one of their talents celestially augmented.
He also got the next link in the quest chain calling for another 20 professionals to be fed the fruit of the quickening. Even though Randolphus couldn't partake because of his evil alignment, there were now more than enough professionals in the village to fulfill the criteria, and Richter was rewarded with another completion prompt.
Congratulations! You have completed the quest Potential for Greatness 2. The fruit of the quickening has been fed to 30 professionals in your village. The next step in celestial evolution has been taken. Reward, 2,500 experience. Reward, plus 2%, total 3%, chance of the professionals who have both sworn fealty to you and eaten the flesh of the quickening to have one, up to two, of their talents celestially augmented. Congratulations, you have unlocked a quest, Potential for Greatness 3.
Only professionals with a good or neutral alignment may safely consume the fruit of the quickening. Current count, 32 of 60. Success conditions, feed the fruit of the quickening to 60 different professionals. Reward, unknown. Penalty for failure or refusal, none. Do you accept? Yes or no? Know this. Your leadership has inspired more than 50% of your villagers to swear fealty. Ongoing changes in loyalty are now 3 times as effective. You have no ongoing changes in loyalty.
Richter gratefully accepted the third link in the quest chain. The red prompt reminding him that he'd lost the honorable tenet was a bit of a nut flick, but he didn't let it bring him down. The party kept going, and the new villagers seemed to be integrating without too much bother. There were definitely some haunted faces, but there had been loss among the old villagers as well. He saw more than one group off to the side, raising toasts to fallen friends and lost loved ones, making sure they were not forgotten. The Chaos Seed actually got tired a bit early despite his belt of sustenance. The day had been extremely long. Even his short nap on the bank of the river hadn't been enough to balance the physical demands of the dungeon dive. He was about to sneak away and leave his people to their festivities when a guard rushed up and whispered in his ear. His mind instantly cleared, and he jumped up. Randolphus and Sion looked at him in surprise. Richter motioned with his head for them to follow as he started jogging towards the south gate. When he got there, he looked around to no avail. One of the guards said,
"A black disc opened. He came through. Then it sounded like there was angry shouting coming from the other side. He just stayed there with that expression on his face. You know, the one that means he could be thinking about birds or plotting your death and he's mad about it either way."
Richter nodded. He knew it all too well. The guard continued his story.
"Then he asked where the dungeon was. I did not see any reason not to tell him, but as soon as I did, he took off running. I swear, my lord, I told him to wait, that it was not safe beyond the village walls at night, but he did not listen. I sent 2 guards to protect him and another to find you, Lord Richter."
Richter nodded and told the guard he'd done well. He kept jogging, his 2 companions in tow. Even though the sun had fallen, it was easy to navigate thanks to the many mist lights positioned outside the city walls. The 3 of them moved quickly to the hill that held the dungeon and jogged up to the top. When they got there, the Chaos Seed saw something he had never thought he'd see. Roswan was giggling. Like, giggling like a little girl. His gaze was locked on the entrance to the dungeon, and he didn't even notice Richter until the Chaos Seed walked directly in front of him. When that happened, the elf turned his gaze and his mustache on the Chaos Seed.
"Well done, my lord. Well done."
He looked at the cave mouth again before turning his gaze back to his liege. His eyes unfocused for a moment in the way people did when they were accessing their interface. Then a new round of giggles pealed forth.
"I am a dungeon keeper."
Chapter 76, Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC.
"What?"
"I am a dungeon keeper," Roswan repeated excitedly.
The normally taciturn elf's eyes were positively dancing. His mouth was set in a super creepy rictus of a grin, though the thick brown caterpillar mustache seemed too heavy for the man to keep that expression for long.
"It is my specialty."
"Specialty?" Richter asked.
None of this was making any sense, and it was starting to piss him off. For one thing, you had to get a profession before you could get a specialty. And as far as he knew, once you got your profession, you had to advance for at least 10 personal levels. Roswan had only been level 12 when he'd left for his trial. Not wanting to waste more time or risk more maddening answers, he decided to just use Analyze.
Name, Roswan. Race, Wood Elf. Profession, Engineer. Level, 22. Disposition, Happy. Specialty, Dungeon Keeper. Stats. Health, 170. Mana, 330. Stamina, 250. Attributes. Strength, 23. Agility, 15. Dexterity, 35. Constitution, 17. Endurance, 25. Intelligence, 33. Wisdom, 12. Charisma, 15. Luck, 14. Skills, construction, 47. Masonry, 38. Carpentry, 35. Design, 28. Repair, 36. Unarmed combat, 27. Tracking, 15. Puzzle solving, 23. Cooking, 14. Fishing, 24. Allegiance. Liege Lord, Richter of the Mist Village. Job. Builder of the Mist Village. Description. Elves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Wood elves are gifted in archery, woodcraft, and healing. Increased accuracy and damage when using ranged weapons. Bonus to dodge. Wood elves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to dexterity and +1 to intelligence.
How in the holy hells did you jump 10 levels?
Richter blurted in surprise.
And how did you get a specialty? And what the hell is puzzle solving? And why are you so good at unarmed combat?
Roswan finally came back to himself a bit and gave his signature.
The answer to the last question is that for some reason an inordinate number of people need a good punch to the face. In answer to your third question, I do not want to talk about it. In answer to the first two questions, you should know that the magic of the trial prevents me from giving too many details, but this is what I can tell you.
Then the mustached elf began a story of epic proportions. It had love, drama, and the involvement of what Richter thought could only be gods. At the end, Richter, Sion, and even Randolphus were gasping and laughing.
"You have to tell the scribes about this," Sion said, wiping his eyes free of tears. "It deserves to be a book."
The elf responded.
"But for now, at least you understand how I became a dungeon keeper. Now," he stated, "I assume that you are the dungeon master, Lord Richter."
"I am," the Chaos Seed replied, still reeling a bit at Roswan's insane story.
"Will you make me the dungeon keeper for the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos?"
Something clicked in Richter's head.
"Wait, so after you went through all that during your trial, and I imagine there must be even more that happened that you can't tell us about, after all that, you came back to the village and irrevocably chose the specialty, dungeon keeper?"
Roswan nodded.
"A specialty that only works if you have access to a dungeon," Richter continued.
Roswan nodded again, but with a frown this time.
"And it just so happens that little old me has the only dungeon around, huh?"
Richter was getting giddy with finally having something he could hold over the implacable elf.
"Is that about right?"
he asked with a horrible grin.
Roswan's face was growing more and more grim as he watched Richter working himself up to the finale.
"I think,"
Richter's voice was casual and innocent, totally in contrast to the deviltry in his eyes,
"that you would be a great dungeon keeper, but..."
and his voice was full of fake sorrow.
"I just wouldn't feel comfortable giving you command of my dungeon unless I knew a bit more about you personally."
Roswan's glare could have lit Richter on fire if he'd been an X-Man. His frown could have provided structural support to the Colosseum. His mustache could have been a lord of the dance the way it quivered. If his mustache were sentient, and Richter wasn't 100% sure that it wasn't. His as well as his were so deep, they probably felt the aftershocks all the way in Eve. Richter was not about to be dissuaded, though. He'd had a hell of a long day. He'd almost died multiple times, but somehow managed to come out on top. Then, he'd increased the population of his village by almost 50% and had given the village's productivity a serious boost. Being able to fuck with Roswan, the elf who'd continually met his every question with a goddamn was the cherry on top of his day, and he was going to have his fucking cherry.
"Oh, yeah," Richter said, nodding and grinning like a maniac. "If you want to be my dungeon keeper, then we are about to bond. We are going to have 5 minutes of... You know what? I'll take 1 minute. We will have 1 minute of small talk. And hear me well, elf. It is going to be casual, and it is going to be amicable." The sound that Roswan let out this time sounded like a yak with intestinal problems. Kind of a low groan that also squealed a bit at the end. His face tightened up so much that Richter thought his nose might actually have the gravitational pull of a black hole. The Chaos Seed waited him out, knowing he was holding all the cards. Sion and Randolphus just stood off to the side, watching this most philosophical of battles between an unstoppable force and an immovable object. That night, they saw a miracle. The object moved.
Fine, Roswan finally caved. Damn you, human. What exactly do you want to know?
I want 1 minute of you telling me personal facts about yourself, Richter told him, his smile unwavering. He'd won. He was riding so high, he didn't even mind that the elf had sworn at him. Roswan was clearly about to start ranting again, but the Chaos Seed just said, starting now. The elf heaved a deep sigh, but did as he was bid.
I do not eat vegetables. That includes fish, because it is a vegetable. I also do not believe in drinking water. It is a beverage that does not try enough. Be whiskey or do not exist. I love riddles. I only have 9 toes, and the most graceful animal on the planet is a mini horse.
You mean a pony? Sion asked, completely confused.
No, son, a mini horse.
It was clear from Roswan's tone that he felt the sprite had just used fighting words. Sion looked at the Chamberlain, who just widened his eyes and shook his head. Richter got them back on track.
Okay, is there anything else I should know?
Are you ready for this responsibility?
The elf looked back at Richter with a fierce gaze and firmly pronounced, I was born ready. I'm Ro-fucking-Swan. There was absolute silence for a moment, but every one of them knew he meant it in the cockles of his heart.
Good enough for me, buddy, Richter told the elf with a laugh. There are still a lot of buildings that need to be constructed, though. I can't have you just playing around in the dungeon all day. If I make you dungeon keeper, I still need you to devote at least 8 hours a day to building up the village. The town hall will need your attention first. Any of the rest of your time, you can spend working in the dungeon.
The elf expressed in displeasure.
How long do I have to split my focus?
For the foreseeable future, Richter told him firmly. But I might be open to decreasing your hours if we find a replacement for you.
Actually, my lord, Randolphus interjected. He was looking at his clipboard. There is a builder gnome among the new villagers who is a journeyman in construction.
Well, that's good news, Richter replied. What's her name?
Leslie, Lord Richter. She's also among those who swore fealty to you.
Leslie, Richter repeated slowly, as if tasting the name. Leslie Gnome. It rang a bell for some reason, but he just couldn't place it.
Okay. If she agrees to become the village builder, and if you do what you can to train her up, then I'll be open to decreasing the hours I need you to commit to the village.
He plastered a big smile on his face again.
See? Isn't this fun? Us talking? I feel closer to you already, Roswan.
With his stoic face, Roswan replied,
I feel closer to you too, Roger.
Richter looked at him like he was crazy, but decided a win was a win. They'd talk more about what it meant to be a dungeon keeper in the morning, but right then, he was dying for some sleep. He accessed his interface and assigned Roswan as the dungeon keeper.
Do you wish to assign the wood elf Roswan to the job of dungeon keeper, yes or no?
Richter chose yes, but then got a warning prompt.
A person may only hold one village job at a time. Assigning Roswan as the village dungeon keeper will remove him from the job of village builder. Do you still wish to make this personnel change, yes or no?
With a faint sigh, Richter chose yes again. He hoped this Leslie chick was up to the task.
Roswan has been removed from his position as village builder. The bonus from him holding this position has been removed. -6% to speed of constructing buildings. Congratulations, you have filled another job. Roswan is now the village dungeon keeper.
This position can only be filled by an engineer who also meets the particular criteria to choose this rare specialty. The bonuses afforded will reflect such a rare individual. 1. Plus 10% to earned dungeon points. 2. New functionality can now be seen in the dungeon interface by both the dungeon master and the dungeon keeper. 3. Roswan can now summon mist workers from his personal village mana pool. 4. Roswan can actively use dungeon points and affect passive allocation of dungeon points. 5. Once the prerequisites are met, your dungeon will be able to access the labyrinth store. 6. Cannot be directly harmed by any force associated with his dungeon, but is not protected from the labyrinth. Even gods may die in that realm. Know this, your choice for dungeon keeper has two qualities that make him ideally suited to become a dungeon keeper. 1. Antisocial. Roswan is not fond of social interaction. He will be able to devote himself fully to the dungeon. The result of this dedication is plus 10% to natural growth of monsters, plants, and excavated space. This quality will also make it easy for him to deal with the emotional ramifications of the dungeon feeding on sapiens. No shit, Richter thought to himself. Seriously, it was kind of crazy that the land itself recognized that the man didn't really like people. It was a valid point, though. And crazy or not, Richter was in favor of anything that helped his dungeon grow. Richter did want his dungeon to grow, but he'd be damned before he'd use his own people to feed it. Randolphus had said that adventurers and monsters from the labyrinth could find the dungeon, and the Chaos Seed was honestly okay with them being eaten. The adventurers would know the risks, and monsters were just monsters. Richter wasn't sure if he personally would feel okay preparing traps and tricks on a daily basis to make the dungeon more deadly. Roswan, on the other hand, might just be the perfect choice for the role. The man certainly wasn't evil, but he gave zero fucks. In some ways, the guy was perfectly suited for the role. Richter's inquisitive mind started to wonder if Roswan had become a dungeon keeper just by chance, or if it had always been his destiny. Chicken or the egg, Richter thought to himself with a headshake. No chance of answering that particular question, so he turned his attention back to the notifications and Roswan's second quality. 2. Puzzle Master. Your choice of dungeon keeper has an innate love of and ability to solve puzzles. The result of this quality is plus 10% difficulty to both finding and disarming traps. Richter was still surprised that Roswan liked puzzles, and he wasn't crazy about the idea of deadlier traps. As his chamberlain had continually reminded him, though, the dungeon was a resource that needed to be protected from whomever might find their way into it from the labyrinth. Either way, it was done. And honestly, he was excited to see what Roswan could do with the dungeon. Richter said goodnight to everyone and walked off with Sion in tow. Randolphus stayed behind for a moment to ask Roswan a question. Why did you say Lord Richter's name wrong?
When people get too close to me, I like to call them by the wrong name. It discourages them from thinking that we're friends.
Randolphus looked off into the distance with a considering look on his face.
That's a great policy.
Roswan nodded sagely, right before the chamberlain added, Bill. The elf just smiled faintly and walked into the dungeon.
Chapter 77, Day 145, Kuborn 35, 0 AOC.
Richter was awoken the next morning by a glowing nightlight. He was completely confused at first, as he had been in the middle of a dream about Xena as a nurse. Needless to say, he was more than a bit pissed when he realized that Futin was hovering above his bed.
What? He seethed through gritted teeth. Do you want?
The remnant had at least learned enough to moderate the volume of his voice when waking Richter up.
I was instructed to wake you by Randolphus. He is outside the door of your chamber and said that I should remind you that Hisako and Sumiko will be at the Great Seal by first light to review the memories that you gained from the Death Knight. He wishes to speak with you first.
Richter closed his eyes and groaned a bit, but he knew that his companion wouldn't have woken him if it wasn't important. How long till sunrise?
Less than 1 hour, my lord,
came the monotone reply.
Okay, tell him I'll meet him in the conference room in a minute.
The glowing orb floated out of the room. Richter sat up and looked to his right. A pleasant memory came to mind as he saw who shared his bed. When he had been walking back to the catacombs, he'd been intercepted by Carrie. The sexy woman had swayed up to him and said,
We need to talk, my lord, about the bet.
Bet? He'd asked, confused. All he remembered about her was seeing her beautiful round bottom in his bed after the last party. With a pouting moo, she'd responded,
Do you not remember? I suppose that is understandable, as you were quite intoxicated when we first met. You sat down at my table and decided to learn how to play Kings and Thieves. A card game,
she added after seeing his questioning look.
You picked it up fairly well and were luckier than you had a right to be. Each round you chose to increase the stakes until the last round when you bet my body against your body for a night.
Oh, had been Richter's slow reply. And that's how we ended up in bed together?
Yes, she'd replied. I'm here because you were quite detailed about the terms of the bet, and all the criteria were not met the other night. I believe debts should be paid in full.
Hmm,
Richter had hummed, looking at the sexy woman.
At that moment, he had experienced a crisis of conscience.
While it might have been true that he'd been playing it fast and loose with his old-school Christian upbringing since coming to the land, the idea of taking a woman to bed because she lost a bet was a bit off even for him. Of course, he didn't feel bad about whatever had gone down the other night, but taking her to bed again, when neither of them were drunk, just because she felt obligated to pay off a debt, even though she looked so damn good, and even though her mouth had already been a bit open, no, he just wasn't fully okay with that. So he'd come to a decision. He'd have to politely turn her down, and if she kept on asking him about the sweet words he'd said in private, he'd just have to level and tell her, Oh, well, that's just what we call pillow talk, baby. With pious righteousness flowing through him, he'd told her, I'm flattered, but I can't take you back to my bed because of a debt you owe me. Carrie had opened her mouth to interject, but he'd cut her off. Now, I'm sure that you had a great time, and it's totally natural that once you find a great ride, you want to hop back on. I get it. He had a sympathetic and understanding smile on his face. There is no judgment. You're in the trust tree, in the nest. And I'd be lying if I said that I didn't want to dive back in all that, he admitted, motioning to her gorgeously slim body. Sometime soon. I can't sleep with you just because you owe me a debt, though. Consider your debt absolved. He'd finished his saintly speech with a large flourish of his hands. Richter had been feeling real good about himself, even going so far as to think, I am a gentleman. Carrie had let him say his piece without interrupting. When he was done, though, she had grabbed the front of his shirt in a fist and pulled him close. The ridiculousness of a 5'6" woman who, even with her big booty, looked like she weighed 100 pounds soaking wet and wearing boots, pulling his 6'4", 220 pounds of pure muscle towards her, had flashed across his mind before she'd spoken in a deadly serious voice.
You didn't win that last bet, Lordling. You lost.
Richter's eyes had opened wide in surprise as she continued.
Now, I was okay with you getting a little nap after the first round since you brought that cute redhead and those gorgeous twins to bed as well. But then you decided to go adventuring. My patience has come to an end. You will pay me what you owe me, and you will do so now. In your own words, it's time for boning the wild mambo and, she thought for a moment before remembering, the hunka-chunka.
Then she'd bit his earlobe hard enough to draw a little blood. When he had pulled back with a slightly surprised cry, he saw her rubbing his blood on her lips like it was chapstick. After tasting it with the tip of her tongue, she had started walking towards the catacombs, clearly expecting him to follow. Almost as an afterthought, she'd added,
And you're going to want to put on that fish ring you told me about, unless you think you can hold your breath for a solid 4 minutes without it.
Richter had stared after her for a moment, his heart thudding before he chased after. On the run, he'd retrieved the ring as instructed. With a broad smile on his face, he'd watched her fat ass sway in front of him as he followed. In the back of his mind, a sing-song phrase had been cycling through his head. We gonna sizzler, we gonna sizzler. Fast forward to now, the woman was snuggled into his bed. As Richter got up, he could only think that despite monsters trying to kill him every day, life wasn't all bad. Carrie whined slightly in her sleep as he took his warmth away, so he just rubbed her bottom for a bit until she settled back into sleep. Alma picked her head up from where she was sleeping on the edge of the bed and blearily blinked at her master for a few moments. Both of them did some morning stretches, then she hopped onto her favorite perch, his shoulders.
Good morning, master,
she told him, licking his cheek. Richter smiled, still slightly awed that his familiar could speak aloud now. Good morning, beastie. Let's go see what Randy wants. The guard stationed outside of his door saluted as he passed, which Richter returned with a smile and a nod. The conference room was only a short walk away, down another tunnel that branched off the central chamber that held the Great Seal. Walking into the room, he saw that Randolphus was already hard at work making notations on a piece of paper.
Morning, Randy.
Ah, good morning, my lord. Thank you for joining me. The stately man stood and bowed to his liege.
Sit, sit, Richter told him, waving him down.
He pulled a chair out and followed his own advice.
Now, what do we need to speak about?
First, allow me to congratulate you, my lord. I watched closely, and the new villagers were integrating with the old without any problems that I could detect. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves in their own way. I anticipate a smooth transition for the freed prisoners into village life. It means we now have several issues which need to be addressed, however.
You know, one day I'm going to walk in here and you'll say, everything is perfect and we have nothing to discuss. Wouldn't that be a wonderful day?
Richter's grin was full of false hope. Ah, yes. Quite droll, my lord. If we could address the matter at hand. Richter sighed fatalistically and nodded. Very good. Adding so many people to the village at once is quite a boon, but it does raise the question of resource allocation. Specifically, what responsibility should be assigned to the 318 new workers? I thought it best to place them in the appropriate roles from the very beginning. I have prepared several documents to that effect. The first shows the work assignments of the old villagers. His voice grew sympathetic as he handed Richter the sheet. I have adjusted the numbers to reflect our recent losses. Richter nodded at him in appreciation, both for the list and for the fact that Randolphus understood that the deaths of his people was a sensitive subject. Always helpful, the Chamberlain had subdivided the document into sections. The first showed those who had a profession focused on combat. The spy's name was missing again, of course. Combat professionals, 9. Warrior, Mimi, Calf, Ygritte, Wisteria. Mage, Sumiko, Quasia, Czar. Ranger, Yulindi. Rogue, Hanzo. Next came the non-combat professions. Randy had added in parentheses when a person had managed to specialize. Non-combat professionals, 23. Scholar, Bartle, B. Enchanter, Lord Richter, Essence Specialty, Glorin. Engineer, Roswan, Dungeon Keeper. Chandler, Joseph. Soper, Jeremiah. Lumberjack, Samuel. Sailor, Jerry. Weaver, Suen. Miner, Borde. Hunter, Radil. Smith, Crom. Farmer, Dano. Cook, Taco. Shipwright, Giovanna. Maid, Tiffany. Cordwainer, Woodhouse. Carpenter, Zaunma. Alchemist, Tabia. Bayan. Crafter, Burke. Herbalist, Alora. Curtisan, Inara. The number of professionals in the village was really adding up. It was especially great that they had all sworn fealty and were with him for the long haul. The next list Randy handed over was even more extensive. Randy had put notations under the guards and healers to show how many of the men and women also had magic. Richter felt slightly bad thinking it, but even though he still mourned the loss of so many of his men and women in the goblin raid, he was glad not many of the casualties had included his magi. Casters were just harder to come by than melee fighters. The more he dwelled on his reaction, the worse he felt, but he knew he was right. Even though it might make him a shitty person, thinking this way might just make him a good lord. He turned his attention to the next.